The Story of the Last Days and Burial of the Reverend J. Hudson Taylor.
The last chapter, The Burial, being read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God. Chapter 3, The Burial. Extract from a letter from Mrs. Catherine P., and the last name is spelled S-H-A-P-L-E-I-G-H. Yang-Chau, China, June 10, 1905. That of which I especially desire to write, the subject utmost in our minds and hearts just now, is the homegoing of the beloved and honored founder of this mission, J. Hudson Taylor. No doubt you will see printed accounts of the funeral services held in Chin-Kiang, but it must not be amiss to give one's own impressions. Dear Miss Murray felt it was an historic occasion, and so arranged that all six of us students now in the home, footnote, the ladies' training home at Yang-Chau, end of footnote, should attend. This was made possible by taking a native boat in which six of the party might sleep, as the mission premises in Chin-Kiang were, of course, full to overflowing. Arrived at the house, we were taken to the room where lay all that was mortal of dear Mr. Taylor, in the Chinese coffin given by the native Christians of Chin-Sha, where he died. Upon it and all about the room were flowers sent by friends, and as we stood there hushed and awed, we were made to rejoice as we were told of the peaceful end to the long, strenuous, self-sacrificing life poured out for Christ in China. Though so feeble that traveling caused him unutterable weariness, dear Mr. Taylor had pressed on into Ho-Nan and finally into Chang-Sha, the capital of Hu-Nan, the last of the 18 provinces to open to the gospel. Now fitting that God should call him home from there, and letting him see with his own eyes the triumphs of the cross, even in bitterly hostile Hu-Nan. That day he spoke to the native Christians as well as the missionaries, and was sitting in the evening talking with Mrs. Howard Taylor when the summons came, and he was not, for God took him. As I remember gratefully his tender sympathy for me as he met me in Shanghai on his arrival in China, and how with tears running down his cheeks he said, "I never had the privilege of meeting your dear husband, but I shall know him sometime." I thought as I stood there, they know each other now. In the evening, a meeting, led by Mr. Stevenson, was held in the large sitting room. Beginning with the older members of the mission, those who had known Mr. Taylor many years, testimonies were given by most of those present to the impression made upon their lives by one whom God had taken to himself. Each testimony brought us a new point or showed a different phase of his character. But when, at 10 o'clock, the meeting broke up, one could not but feel that the half had not been told. To those of you who do not know the story of Hudson Taylor's life, I earnestly recommend the little book, A Retrospect, which can be procured at either of the CIM headquarters in North America. Friday morning, June 9th, we all rose early, and after coffee, assembled for the first service at 7 o'clock. More flowers and plants had come in the room was a bower of fragrance and beauty. A triumph tone sounded through hymns, prayers, and beautiful selections of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 15, and the last six verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There was not one present, I believe, who could not rejoice that he who had won an abundant entrance had gone in to see the King in his beauty, to join those so dear to him and so sorely missed, to be forever free from all weakness and weariness of the flesh. This service over, the long procession started for the cemetery, walking two by two, each wearing a long scarf of white cloth over the left shoulder and fastened to the right side. This, of course, in deference to Chinese custom, white being their mourning. The two sons, Mr. Herbert Taylor and Dr. Howard Taylor, were dressed entirely in white with scarves about their heads. Mrs. Hudson Taylor wore the headscarf also. This must have touched the dear Chinese, of whom there were many at the grave. a goodly number of foreigners outside of our own mission attended. And it was good to see the girls from the Methodist school in Chin-Kiang, all dressed in white and seeming so interested and moved. After a beautiful, simple service in English and an address by Mr. Hoist, our director, a service in Chinese was begun by singing of a hymn, followed by an earnest address by Mr. Saunders, S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S, who had long known Mr. Taylor. The burden of it was, "The Lord Jesus is surely coming again soon." The hands of loving relatives and friends lowered the body to its last resting place, close beside that of the beloved wife, and while the grave was being filled, hymns were sung in Chinese, one after another, the schoolgirls with their trained voices leading. The two hymns we sang in English seemed so beautiful, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul," and "Sleep On, Beloved," with its refrain, "Good Night." You can well understand that to me it was like living over again the sad, glad days in Kan-King last February. But to the glory of our wonderful God, let me say that I was kept in peace, stayed upon His mighty arm. Naturally, one feels the strain of it somewhat now, but I shall always be thankful for the privilege of being there, a privilege denied so many because of the distance. Returning to the house and breakfast over, another service was held in the city room, many earnest prayers being offered, especially for Mr. Hoist, upon whom falls so heavy a burden of responsibility now that the founder and the consulting director is gone. Silent prayer was followed by the singing of Francis Abigail's beautiful consecration hymn, "On Our Knees, with Full Hearts, I Assure You." Before the meeting closed, several beautiful testimonies were added to those which had been given the night before. Truly, it was a blessed time. That same afternoon, after a photograph of the assembled friends had been taken by Dr. Whitfield Guinness, we all scattered, some to Yang-Chau, others to Shanghai, still others up the river, but every heart had been drawn heavenward and stirred afresh with a deep desire to live as Hudson Taylor had lived, a life wholly consecrated to Him who has called us to this land to represent Him before this people. The end of chapter 3. The next chapter is an edition called An Appreciation by Reverend J.W. Stevenson, J. Hudson Taylor, born at Barnsley, Yorks, May 21st, 1832, died at Chang-Sha, Hunan, June 3rd, 1905.